Hi, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of TechNet Radio. We're here in our Build Your Hybrid Cloud series, and we're on episode 28. My name is Keith Mayer. I'm a principal technical architect on our Azure team here at Microsoft in the U.S., working with ISV partners and large customers. We have back with us today Andy Surwich, our good friend. Hey, Andy, how are you today?
Good. How's it going, Keith?
Great. Well, thanks for joining us today, Andy.
Hey, happy to show up and talk about tech any day.
Yeah, so Andy, you're like the pulse of the community. I see you out all over the place in the community, on blogs, for Hyper-V, for Altero, for some of the other guys, for Azure, certainly. What's the pulse? What's a lot of the excitement around these days? What do people want to hear us talk about and demo today, do you think, in our series?
Well, we're talking about hybrid cloud. The big thing that I've been hearing about a lot lately, postings on a lot of blogs, talking a lot of forums, is the technical preview of Azure Stack.
Azure Stack, yeah. Technical preview 1 launched just a couple weeks ago, right?
Yep.
Yeah, and I agree. There's been lots of interest on kicking the tires on this early technical preview and getting a better understanding for what's to come in the coming months as the engineering teams move Azure Stack towards general availability release later this calendar year. What are some of the aspects that you've seen a lot of interest around in terms of Azure Stack?
I think the biggest aspect that I've seen probably is from the hoster and the MSP perspective. I've got a lot of buddies that work from that perspective in the industry, and I think the biggest thing is for hosters and MSPs to a degree, like I said, is being able to serve up an Azure-type portal for their customers on top of their infrastructure. So that's probably the biggest draw I've seen so far, and a lot of them are starting to work through some POCs as to, you know, get a feel of what that would look like. One, from their end, from a management perspective, which is going to be a lot like managing Azure, right? And then two, what are their users going to see, type of thing. So that's a lot of the perspectives that I've been hearing about Azure Stack lately.
Well, and that's a really good point, Andy. You know, that Azure Stack is really designed to provide an Azure consistent cloud experience in a on-premises or hosted or colo data center environment, right? And so hosting partners like those that you're working with, or ISV partners that are building solutions that need to accommodate different deployment models in the public cloud as well as private cloud, are really excited about what Azure Stack brings, because regardless if the applications you're deploying are based on Windows Server or open source alternatives, one of the various Linux distributions that Azure and Hyper-V supports, the good news is that the whole model behind Azure Stack is you build and deploy your application packages in a form factor that works in the Azure public cloud, that as Azure Stack begins to get used in on-prem data centers and hosted data centers, you can use to deploy those same applications without change in the outside of Azure in the on-prem world. So it's really bringing, as you mentioned, that hybrid cloud message back. A very strong, consistent model for managing clouds, whether they're public clouds, private clouds, or hosted clouds. And a lot of that consistency has to do at an application layer and at a deployment and management layer with Azure Stack's use of Azure Resource Manager, the same API we talked about a few episodes ago, right, for the Azure public cloud. So that Azure Resource Manager provides a consistent API that the portal experience for Azure Stack and Azure is consistently built on, as well as command line management tools, script-based tools for deploying new deployments like PowerShell. Azure PowerShell can work with Azure Stack or Azure consistently, same way, or our cross-platform CLI tools that are available for Linux and Mac OS X, or the declarative model of ARM templates that allow us to create a declarative, idempotent configuration as a set of JSON template files that we can then push through ARM to have ARM review and enact the correct provision configuration based on the end result that we're looking for. So all of that in Azure Stack to provide that consistency. And I agree. I see a lot of excitement around being able to do that. And in fact, I've seen a lot of organizations start thinking, well, we thought we were a bit further out in our public cloud strategy, but maybe it makes sense for us to start building and planning for migrating to Azure, because ultimately that's something that we can also use for those workloads that we'll be deploying on Azure Stack once it's available in the coming months as well. Are you seeing a lot of that same interest as well, Andy?
Yeah, absolutely. Because, I think a lot of organizations still have this, they still don't feel like it's safe for them to move to the public cloud yet, for whatever reason. We've all heard them. But I think having the option to leverage that same technology and that power that Azure provides on-premise is making them feel more comfortable with the prospect of doing that.
Yeah, and at the same time, it's getting their teams, their processes, their approach of delivering IT as a service integrated, whether it's on-prem or in the public cloud, integrated in a manner that can allow them to easily grow into the public cloud when they're ready. And I see, frankly, a lot of organizations that as they begin their cloud adoption process, they start off with a review of their portfolio of application solutions that are currently deployed in their data centers today. And as part of that review, make the determination, well, here's what goes to the public cloud, here's what needs to for a variety of reasons that you mentioned. It could be governance, it could be internal or external regulations, it could be some very specific organizational reasons. But here's the subset of applications that we feel more comfortable keeping on-prem for the time being or in a hosted location. But the great news is you can package it, deploy it, and get it up and running once. And as those applications evolve and they become candidates for moving to the public cloud, you have less work to do because you're ultimately leveraging Azure everywhere, right?
Yep. All about flexibility. I know when I before I was an evangelist, when I was managing customer solutions, the ability to move workloads from point A to point B with little or no downtime was a big, big requirement. And now managing on-premise workloads, the same as I'm going to manage workloads hosted in Azure, that's a huge time saver for me because now I need to learn one tool set, So I think that's a huge draw, and I think that's why there's so much buzz in the industry about Azure Stack right now.
Yeah, definitely. And so we've talked a little bit about the Azure consistency in terms of management and deployment and application architecture that Azure Stack brings. But on our slide, we also have down towards the bottom this aspect of cloud infrastructure, kind of the guts, right? The hardware portions of storage and compute and networking and whatnot. And the cool thing is a lot of that cloud infrastructure is actually inspired by Azure as well. Azure Stack actually inherits it from development and engineering efforts around Windows Server 2016, which is currently in technical preview 4. We talked a little bit about Windows Server 2016 on our last episode, I believe, at Nested Hyper-V. Yep. But we also touched on some of the Azure-inspired aspects, right? The network controller that's built into Windows Server 2016 that brings down distributed software-defined networking from what we do in Azure down to something that everybody can run in their environment on Windows Server. Yep. So that's part of what Azure Stack is leveraging for its networking stack. From a storage standpoint, Storage Spaces Direct, which brings down the blob storage, our Azure storage mindset of using commodity storage and having the software enforce performance and resiliency and throughput by creating an intelligent software bus, right, that applications can access consistently across host devices that are serving up storage. So that's serving up pieces of the storage infrastructure for Azure Stack, inheriting that through Azure to in Windows Server 2016. And then certainly the Hyper-V improvements around increased scale, increased security, container models for deploying secure virtualized containers as Hyper-V containers, as well as Windows Server containers and Docker-style Linux containers. All of that is coming through as part of the cloud infrastructure as well. So we're seeing a model where not only are we getting Azure consistency in our on-prem world, but the way that we think about infrastructure is maturing as well by inheriting a lot of those same aspects that we use in Azure to manage our global data center infrastructure throughout our 22 regions, right?
right? It's really an exciting time to be in IT because, I mean, you look at the way we managed things 5, 10 years ago, and now you look at how we're going to be managing things even a year, 2 years from now. I mean, it's so much different, but at the same time, it's so much more powerful, and being able to do the things that we're going to be able to do is really exciting.
Yeah, definitely. And really the benefit of this approach is that it creates for us a single Azure ecosystem worldwide that leverages the power of our own public cloud, global data center regions, for areas where a customer or a partner perhaps doesn't have a presence today, to reach the far areas of the world efficiently and cost effectively. We've got 22 Azure data center regions deployed today, multiple football fields in size each.
Yep.
We announced another 6 that will be opening up over the next few months in this calendar year. So 28 announced total to really reach those far areas, those far corners of the world where customers and partners may not have their own data center presence today when they're trying to create geo-distributed applications. But on top of that, as we start thinking about what Azure Stack does to expand this ecosystem, Azure Stack allows us to grow the Azure footprint through our worldwide network of regional hosting providers that are leveraging Azure Stack to deliver their own Azure-hosted services. And from a customer standpoint, whether it's Azure or Azure Stack, again, it's managed the same way. And then on top of that, we have the ability for customers to deploy their own Azure Stack deployments in their own local data centers where very close proximity, super low latency, or some of those regulatory governance security type needs might infringe on having some of those applications delivered locally becomes a viable option as well. Extending the Azure ecosystem globally across public cloud, hosted cloud, private cloud. So really great opportunity for partners, for customers, for anyone that's working in the cloud today.
I think this is a big benefit for customers especially because back when I was, a service provider, one of the things that, I would often get from customers when you start talking about hosting their workloads in a public cloud, they get a little worried because they can't walk across the hallway and see the rack where their data sits, right? And I think given service providers the ability to provide Azure-type services more regionally to the end user customer, it helps with that comfort factor because, the customer can drive across town, go to the service provider, and they get that warm, fuzzy feeling of knowing exactly where their data sits. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and it allows those regional providers to create their own managed service offerings mm-hmm. around the hosted data centers that they manage for customers to have more of a white glove approach, right, for
right.
bringing customer workloads to the Azure cloud. So
yep.
definitely, yeah, definitely. Well, let's talk a little bit about Azure Stack in its current form factor, Technical Preview 1. So Technical Preview 1, as we mentioned earlier at the beginning of our episode, was recently released publicly a few weeks ago. The bits are available for you to download. The deployment steps are there for you to deploy. I think you'll find that it's a pretty straightforward deployment process. With Technical Preview 1, we focused on really providing a preview of Azure Stack from a base functional standpoint. And so it's a single server, single physical server deployment that has at host level Windows Server 2016 TP4 running with its version of Hyper-V and Storage Direct, and then a set of VMs that are built inside of a single node cluster so that we are ready for multi-node Azure Stack technical previews down the road that are highly available as a set of clustered VMs in this box for each of the key components of Azure Stack, for the ARM Resource Manager, for the resource providers that ARM uses, for the portal interface, for managing infrastructure services like Active Directory and DNS and DHCP, and for providing an Azure consistent a storage service as well, so that applications that have been written for Azure that directly to Azure storage through our blob or table storage APIs or whatnot can be brought over to Azure Stack as well. So Technical Preview 1 is intended for evaluation. It's not intended for running production workloads so that people have an early opportunity to kick the tires, see what Azure Stack is from a functional standpoint today and provide feedback to our engineering team on what they would like to see, what you would all like to see as things move forward as Azure Stack matures towards GA. Being that it is a single box deployment, the hardware specs are a little beefy, so be sure on the documentation page that we've linked at the bottom of our website today that that you take a look at those hardware requirements to make sure you have a server set aside that meets those. But what do you think, Andy? Does it make sense to kind of walk through the installation process visually together to give everybody a chance to see what it looks like?
Yeah, sounds good.
Okay, well, let's head over to our lab, and we'll step through the installation process in a kind of a fresh environment so that we can see it soup to nuts.
All right, sounds good.
So here we are, Andy, in our lab, and we've downloaded the Azure Stack TP1 POC bits to a base Windows Server 2016 host that we've set up with just a base general version, general Windows Server 2016. We're just going to use this base OS to launch through the first few steps of extracting out the bits for installing Azure Stack and to use as sort of a bootloader that we can use to boot into the base environment that we'll use to do the rest of our Azure Stack deployment. So I'm going to double click on our setup, and that'll launch our extractor, so it welcomes us to our Azure Stack POC. We click Next. It asks us to accept the license agreements and basic stuff. We're just going to next through that stuff. And then it prompts us for where we want to extract our deployment files to. So I'm just going to put those over underneath this Microsoft Azure Stack POC subfolder in my current folder. And I'll go ahead and extract that stuff. And then once that's extracted, we'll drill into the properties of that subfolder that we just extracted everything out to, and we'll see a number of different artifacts that were inside of our Azure Stack POC bits. We've got several different VHDs for Windows Server 2016 Data Center Edition that will be used as sort of that base. Remember, Azure Stack inherits compute networking and storage infrastructure from Windows Server 2016, so we're going to use that as our base that we boot from. We've got a VHD for SQL Server that we'll use for provisioning SQL in our environment. We've got our additional Azure Stack bits that will mount as a second disk to our host environment that's booting Server 2016. And then we've got a Windows Server 2012 R2 Data Center Eval VHD that we'll use as an initial VHD image that we can use to easily be able to build new VMs in Azure Stack through the Azure interface once everything's up and running. And then certainly we can augment that with additional VM images that we customize and upload, whether they're Windows or Linux or whatnot, once Azure Stack is fully deployed. But that's kind of the environment that we're extracting. And what I'll do is I'll go ahead and right-click on this Windows Server 2016 Data Center Edition VHD, and I'm just going to copy and rename that over to a unique file name that I'm going to use specifically for my boot environment for Azure Stack. That way, I preserve the original copy of Windows Server 2016, because as we saw earlier, we've got a number of other VMs that get built on this host for managing Azure Stack, and they'll all need Windows Server 2016 as well as their base OS. Once I've done that, I'm going to go ahead and mount that boot VHD. So it's just mounted it as a local drive letter, so that I can configure my host to boot to this boot VHD, this mounted VHD. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and go to my command prompt, and I'm going to run bcd boot and specify my mounted path in that boot VHD to the Azure Stack POC environment to the Windows folder. So I mounted it as E. I'm going to tell my system I want to boot from VHD, and then I'm going to go ahead and restart my machine. So my machine restarts, it boots off that new Azure Stack POC VHD, and it brings me up into the normal kind of initial sets of prompts for installing and configuring Windows Server, right? So it'll ask me for my administrator username and password information, my region and keyboard information. Once I finish through all that and log in for the first time, just like a normal Windows Server, I see Server Manager as my initial tool that launches for me. And inside Server Manager, we'll see that my base environment is set up as a single host. I called it AS Host 01, Azure Stack Host 01. in a workgroup environment. So it's not part of a domain yet, because as part of the Azure Stack deployment, it'll build an Active Directory domain and add this host as a member of that domain. In addition, I have just a single NIC initially connected and has internet access, because we need to authenticate against Azure AD as part of this POC environment, so it's important that it has internet access. After deployment, I can certainly enable these other NICs and add them as maybe a teamed interface into my vSwitch or whatnot, but for now, I'll just leave it with a single NIC. And I've also turned off for my POC environment, i.e. enhanced security, because there's a couple areas where when we're launching Azure Stack Management tools and whatnot, we'll need to be in a browser, and the IE enhanced security, while it works with those tools, it has a whole bunch of additional security prompts you need to go through. So for our demo environment, we're going to turn that particular feature off. In addition, from a storage standpoint, what we have is a number of disks that we're going to have Azure Stack deploy storage spaces direct on top of. And so storage spaces direct is doing the management of those disks. So we're not using any type of rated array across these disks. We have each disk split out as a separate 300 gig disk. And once we get through the deployment of Azure Stack, it will see where it actually takes those and uses storage spaces direct to bring those into a common storage pool and create a volume that the cluster can use, that the Azure Stack cluster can use for storage purposes. So that's the base environment that we're at so far. Let's go ahead and launch the deployment process. So inside that folder that we extracted everything out to, there was a script, a PowerShell script, that does a completely automated deployment of everything you saw in that prior slide with the host and the 8 to 10 VMs and whatnot. So we're just going to switch over CD into that folder that we extracted everything out of, and we're going to run that PowerShell script from our PowerShell admin command prompt. We're going to use the verbose switch on it so we can see all of the messages as they scroll by. And it is completely automated, but there are a couple initial prompts for information. So when we initially run it, it'll mount that data disk that we saw in as a separate VHD, and it'll start running through that script. And one of the first things it'll stop for is asking us for the password of our local built-in administrator account. And it's going to use the same password when it sets up Active Directory as the default administrator account for Active Directory as well. So we'll go ahead and key that password in, confirm it. And now it's going to ask us to sign into Azure Active Directory, because Azure Stack in the initial TP1 POC is using Azure Active Directory for authentication to Azure Resource Manager, so that we can, in the POC environment, have all of the same authentication capabilities and role-based access control and auditing capabilities that we do in the Azure Public Cloud. So it's also going to ask me to sign in as a user account in my Azure AD instance that has admin access to be able to set up some service principles and whatnot in that Azure AD instance for Azure Stack. So I'll go ahead and sign in. Wants me to confirm, I'll go ahead and select yes. Go ahead and confirm my default, and now it'll start registering the Azure Active Directory service principles for Azure Stack in my tenant out in Azure AD. And then as it goes forward, it'll say, great, all ready to go. The rest of this deployment's going to be automated. It's ready to deploy. Do you want to continue? I'll say yes. And now the deployment will proceed from this point on, configuring the rest of that entire Azure Stack POC environment, the host, the storage, the VMs, Active Directory, SQL, all of the workloads inside each of those VMs for managing the Azure Stack environment. It can take a little bit of time. It takes about 2 or 3 hours to roll through the entire process. So we'll kind of fast forward through the process here a little bit using our time-lapse Skype videography. But once we're done with that deployment, we'll get to our final prompt saying, congratulations, Azure Stack POC is successfully deployed. It even created a client VM for us that's pre-configured with access to the Azure portal and tools and whatnot that we can use for managing Azure Stack as well. So when we look at our environment now, we'll see that our base host that we were looking at before is now part of an Azure Stack.local domain. It's also part of a single node cluster. As we mentioned, as Azure Stack expands to multi-nodes, this is part of that prep to allow you to easily add multiple nodes in a highly available fashion. In addition, we've got all those VMs running as Hyper-V clustered VMs with all pre-configured with their roles. And here's the view and failover cluster manager. So they're all pre-configured. Even though it's a single node cluster, they're all clustered resources so that that piece is done. And when we look at our storage using Git Volume, we'll see that we've got that one very large 1.5, 1.5 terabyte, 1.6 terabyte CSV file system volume that our cluster is using. That's using storage spaces direct across all of those 300 gig disks that were previously separate. So that's it for the installation and initial configuration process. What do you think, Andy? Pretty easy, huh? Probably easier than setting up a Hyper-V cluster.
Yes. It's pretty simple. Basically, you just pressed enter and filled in a few fields. That takes all the work out of it. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah, definitely. And so now that our environment's up and running, we can actually go into that client VM, right, and open up our browser and log in to the Azure Stack portal. So here I'm logged in as the Azure admin account that we saw a little earlier into my Azure Stack portal. And in the Azure Stack portal, when you're logging in as the admin user, you're actually seeing kind of behind the curtain in Azure Stack, behind the normal view that we see in the Azure public cloud. Normally, we see just the tenant view of Azure in the public cloud. But here in Azure Stack, logged in as admin, we can define our own offers and plans that have different quotas associated with them of compute and storage and networking and various services. So if we look at my my list of plans, for instance, you'll see I've already defined an unlimited plan that tenants in my organization or my customers can subscribe to through an offer. And this unlimited plan gives me the ability to select the specific services that I wish to enable. So in my case, I've enabled compute, network, and storage. And then for each of these services, we can identify quotas of how much compute, how many cores, how much memory, how much network in terms of IP addresses or bandwidth or VNets, how much storage in terms of capacity do we want to associate with this plan. And then to make this plan available for our tenants or customers to select, we can associate that plan with an offer. And so if I just browse over to my offers, we'll see that we've got an offer set up right now, a platinum offer. And so if I drill into the properties of my platinum offer, we'll see that there's a base plan associated with it. And if I navigate over to my base plan, you'll see that unlimited plan that we were just looking at is now associated with this offer. So that the idea behind these offers and plans is the offers are what we can expose to tenants or customers to subscribe to for their Azure Stack subscription. And then we can have behind the scenes these offers linked to one or more plans so that we can easily change things like quotas or services or whatnot that are associated with an offer without having to change the name or the offer itself. We instead can change the plans and then associate different plans with these offers from that standpoint. Once we've done some of that base work on the admin side, well, then we can log in as our first tenant. So I'm just going to switch over to our Azure portal. I'm logged in as just a normal tenant user now. And the first thing that a tenant would do is they'll need an Azure Stack subscription. Just like out in the public cloud, you need an Azure subscription. So they'll get a subscription and they'll put in a display name for their subscription and they'll also select one of the offers that we've defined. So in this case, when they choose an offer, they can select my platinum offer or other offers that I've set up, and they'll be able to get a sense of what services are available through that offer and whatnot. Once they have that subscription set up then, they're ready to start provisioning services, just like they would in Azure, through that subscription. So they can click on the new button, and under new, create new VMs, new storage accounts, new networks, new virtual networks. It all is managed very consistently through the portal, because underneath the covers, the portal is still talking to Azure Resource Manager that's plugged into resource providers that are talking to Azure Stack. And of course, the portal consistency is just one aspect of it, right? We have a lot of people out there that love managing their cloud deployments through scripts or templates. And so whether you're using PowerShell or the Azure command line interface that's cross-platform, you can register your Azure Stack environment as a new environment for Azure Resource Manager to be able to talk to using the add Azure RM environment commandlet in PowerShell in this case. And then we just get that environment once it's registered once, and we can log into that environment using the same commandlets that we would use in the Azure public cloud, just specifying the Azure Stack environment instead. So I'll go ahead and log in as that same tenant user that we were looking at before. And it'll come back and log me in, and I can select one of my Azure Stack subscriptions. So there's my subscription that I set up in Azure Stack. And if I wanted to see what I can do in Azure Stack, I can use the standard Get Azure RM Resource Provider commandlet and be able to see all the various resources that are registered with Azure Resource Manager for Azure Stack that I can now provision and manage. So storage, compute, availability sets, load balancers, virtual machines, network interfaces, just like you would in the Azure environment as well. And then, of course, templates are supported too. In fact, if you're more on the declarative side of the Azure Resource Manager world, out in our public GitHub repository, we have a whole host of Azure Stack Quick Start templates that you can leverage. They're standard ARM templates for deploying VMs or networking or whatnot. And as you look through those templates, you'll find that, you know, they have the same consistent Azure Resource Manager structure that we do in the Azure public cloud. So same exact interface. We can deploy them through our Azure portal as a template deployment. We can deploy them through PowerShell. We can deploy them as a template that we kick off through the Azure CLI, through Visual Studio, through any of the normal means for managing Azure ARM templates. Well, Andy, what do you think? Does that make sense? Does that give everyone a good sense as to where we are with Azure Stack and Technical Preview 1 and hopefully encourage people to go download the bits and try it out more in their own environment?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, anyone who's used Azure in any way, shape, or form should certainly be comfortable with this. Because, I mean, if I didn't know it was Azure Stack, you'd think it was Azure, you know?
Exactly. I mean,
it's that similar. And that's, you know, I think Microsoft has done an amazing job porting that same experience over into the on-prem world.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I'd encourage everyone that's listening, if you're interested in kicking the tires more in a on-prem environment of your own, go out and visit the link that we have as our next step out on azure.microsoft.com. There's a great set of Azure Stack technical documentation articles that'll walk you through the preparation, the hardware requirements, all of the steps that you saw in deploying Azure Stack, and then help you get started with managing Azure Stack as part of your proof of concept. There's even downloadable options for adding in some of our platform as a service offerings from Azure into Azure Stack now. So specifically for web apps and for SQL database, those pieces are out there as well for you to download, integrate, and leverage as part of your continuing evaluation. Well, hey, Andy, thanks so much for joining us today. It was a pleasure as always talking with you and getting your insights as to where the interest is in the community around Azure Stack and Azure.
It's always fun to be here.
And thank you, everyone, for joining us as well. We hope you enjoyed today's session, learning more about how to get started with Azure Stack Technical Preview 1. And we look forward to seeing you in a future episode here at TechNet Radio on Channel 9 of Building Your Hybrid Cloud. Thanks, everybody.